Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
The Senate will come to order.
Are you ready?
Yeah!
I want to know, is everybody ready?
Yeah!
All right, here we go. Everybody, get on up and do your stuff. Did you hear what I say? I said everybody, get on up and do your stuff. You better get up. You got to be tough when you do your stuff.
Hey! Hey, everybody. Welcome to Congress College. Happy Monday to everybody. My name is Elizabeth Christ, and I'll be your host for the next 30 minutes on this Blog Talk radio show where we spend 30 minutes talking about Congress. That's right. Congress College airs twice weekly on the Monday show, which, of course, is the show you're listening to right now. This is when we outline the week in Congress, and that means we talk about literally what will be coming up in the Senate of the United States and what will be coming up in the House of Representatives. And then on the Friday show, same time slot, 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we recap the week and we talk about what exactly got done. What did the Senate end up doing? What did the House of Representatives end up debating and passing? You know, I do the show twice weekly in part so you can know what your representatives are up to. You know, I believe we have the greatest representative government in the world. I really do. Honestly, we have the best representative government in the world. Does it have warts right now? You betcha. We've got problems, problems, problems. We've got a president that's run amok with his power, a Congress that's sleeping on its rights. But bottom line is, we have the best representative government in the world, but it's only the best if you pay attention, if you know what your representatives are doing, if you know what these guys and gals that represent you, that speak for me, if you know what they are up to. That's one of the reasons I do the show. Another reason is to familiarize folks with the free website, gradegov.com. And of course, gradegov.com lets you grade a member of Congress. How about your member of Congress? You want to give him an A or a D or an F? Of course, when we're talking grade gov, we're talking about the grades just like the ones you got in school, the A, B, C, D, or F. Once you figure out who you want to grade, once you figure out what grade you want to give them, the site is going to prompt you to write a letter explaining your grade. So let's get started. Let's talk about what's going on in Congress. And I'm going to start today, this show, with the Senate of the United States. Senator McConnell and the other leaders, both parties, are heading to the White House. Or actually, they're at the White House. They're meeting with the Congressional Legislative Affairs Group. They're trying to figure out the funding of our federal government, the so-called continuing resolution. Let me read you a statement Senator McConnell read earlier today. I expect to move forward this week on a continuing resolution through December 9th at last year's enacted funding levels and including funding for Zika control and our veterans. He said members on both sides of the aisle have been working towards an agreement. We've made a lot of progress. And as I said, he expects to move it this week. So they're trying to get out even as early as next week. That will be the earliest that I could find on record that the House and the Senate went out during a presidential election year. A lot of times it's into the middle part of October. The House of Representatives, guess what they did last week? Now they're behind the scenes working on the continuing resolution and getting the language in there too. But guess what they did last week? I love this. They passed by voice vote. That means it was not a roll call vote. That was one of those all in favor say aye, all opposed no. They did by voice vote last week, right before they left, a bill that was honoring the 15th year anniversary of the 9/11 terrorist attacks. They passed a bill that would allow victims' families the authority to take legal action against foreign state-sponsored terrorism. And you know what? President Obama said he's going to veto it. Really? You really think he's going to veto that? Allow these family members to sue Saudi Arabia, for example? Why? Think about that. Why would he veto a bill that would allow, grant victims, the families of the victims, the authority to sue foreign state sponsors of terrorism? Is it because they're typically Muslim countries? Could he be protecting? No, that can't be right. Well, let's see what he does, because that's what the House did this week. As I said, the House and the Senate this week, they're meeting at the White House. They're trying to figure out how to pass a continuing resolution, which would fund the federal government through December 9th. What will they do with Planned Parenthood money? Will they end up funding all of Planned Parenthood? Will they end up funding all of Obamacare? Remember, this money goes to December 9th. Is it going to matter that much? What's more important? Let's think about this. Bob from Connecticut, I want you to put your thinking cap on. What's more important now, middle of September, to try to have one more symbolic vote on defunding Obamacare or getting out of session so they can go home and hopefully get reelected so the Senate stays Republican and the House gains seats? I don't know. I'm not going to answer that. It's sort of a rhetorical question. I'm just going to let it lie. Well, let me tell you this. It's legacy time. Don't you think for 1 minute that the Obama administration is not and has not been thinking about their legacy for months and months and months? But this is typically the time of year where they really start figuring out what they think their legacy is. Let me tell you what I think one of them is. Well, I'm going to let this little 2 minute clip explain this. Go ahead. It's about 2 minutes. See what you think if this isn't part of his legacy. Here you go.
Are we a stupid nation or what? Try to guess what this is.
It's Arabic words on a piece of paper. That's the visual.
It's the Arabic instructions of how to apply for food stamps in Michigan. This is easily verifiable by calling the Michigan Department of Human Services. Have we gone batty? It's official. The camel's nose is in the governmental bureaucratic tent in Michigan, feeding on our hard-earned money we pay in taxes. But wait, it gets worse. Muslim men are allowed 4 wives. So when they immigrate to America, they simply list wife number 2, 3, and 4 as extended family to qualify for welfare and a myriad of other taxpayer-funded government programs. So if you live in Michigan and you're Muslim, there is no need to assimilate into American culture to get a job. You simply call the public assistance office to get a recording directing you to press 1 for English, 2 for Spanish, or 3 for Arabic. Don't believe me? Call for this number for yourself and press 3 for Arabic. 1-888-678-8914, Michigan EBT card hotline. Where is the public outcry? Where's CNN? Where's NBC? Where were the town hall meetings asking US if this is what we wanted? Don't we as taxpayers and US citizens have a right to have at least some input in these multi-billion dollar drains on our tax-funded governmental bodies? If you don't like seeing US tax dollars spent to support multiple Muslim wives, call your congressman and see if this Michigan welfare system for large families is coming to your state and let him or her know how you feel about that. Please forward a copy of this email to every hard-working red-blooded American citizen you know, before Obama's hope and change transforms our nation into something we no longer recognize.
That's his legacy, folks. Well, you know, let's think about legacies for a second. Abraham Lincoln, obviously, for ending slavery. How about George Washington? Our president, our first president, obviously. And he stepped down after 2 terms. How about Roosevelt, leading our nation through the Great Depression? So what do you think legacy of Obama is? Well, this is clearly one of them. Clearly upping, increasing the welfare programs until we don't even recognize it anymore. Social Security disability benefits are rampant's not the word. They are on steroids. And of course, Social Security disability benefits, they're forever. You don't have to keep reapplying like you do welfare. How about his two biggest, in my view, two of his biggest legislative accomplishments, if you want to call them that. Of course, Obamacare, which led to major unemployment. These are supposedly the domestic achievements. Major unemployment, people losing their job, destroying what was a half-decent healthcare system. What about Dodd-Frank? What about the too big to fail? What about cap and trade? Immigration, what he's done to the refugee program. They flow in here through our borders all the time. How about gun control? Just want you to think about it, because believe me, they are thinking about it. What is President Obama's legacy? All right, I want to flip over to presidential politics. Hillary Clinton said this Friday evening. Now, we now find out that she had pneumonia, but she said this to a bunch of supporters. She said they were sexist, racist, and homophobic. These are Donald Trump supporters. Sexist, racist, and homophobic. To be grossly generalistic, you could put half of Trump supporters into what I can call a basket of deplorables. She was in New York City. Here, I'll let you listen to it. This is now a Trump ad. It's 30 seconds long.
Speaking to wealthy donors, Hillary Clinton called tens of millions of Americans deplorable.
You could put half of Trump supporters into what I call the basket of deplorables.
The racist, sexist, homophobic, xenophobic, Islamophobic, you name it.
People like you, and you, deplorable. You know what's deplorable? Hillary Clinton viciously demonizing hardworking people like you.
I'm Donald Trump, and I approve this message.
You know, what's almost as sad is most of the people in the room laughed. They agreed with her and thought it was funny. Racist, sexist, homophobic, Islamophobic, deplorables. Is that her Mitt Romney moment? Remember his 47% remark? Well, the editor of the Yale Book of Quotations says that the 47% remark was the most significant utterance in the last 12 months. These are quotes that are selected from famous, important, relevant to the times, and not necessarily the ones that are the most eloquent or admirable. Mitt Romney said this: there are 47% of the people who will vote for the president no matter what. They are dependent upon the government. They believe they are victims. These are people who pay no income tax. And so my job is not to worry about those people. I'll never convince them that they should take personal responsibility and care for their lives. Wow, I don't see anything so deplorable about that. I guess they parsed it and said, I will never take personal responsibility. I mean, I will never convince them to take personal responsibility. Why is that so horrible that they actually take personal responsibility? But that's the number one worst quote, according to the Yale Book of Quotations, in the previous 12 months. It made the number one slot. Do you think the basket of deplorables, the deplorable statement that Hillary Clinton said at a fundraiser in New York, do you think that'll make it? Oh, I'm sure not. But let me just say this. Her remark alone is deplorable. And obviously Donald Trump thinks so. That's why he made an ad out of it. Remember, she did it on Friday. He's already got an ad out. Because it slaps you in the face. It slaps me in the face. It slaps anybody that would even consider voting for him. Slaps them in the face. We'll have to see how it plays out. WikiLeaks. Julian Assange said on Fox last week he was preparing to publish a bunch of files on Hillary Clinton in the next 2 weeks. He said it would, quote, rock her campaign even more in the final 2 months of the race. He said the first batch is coming reasonably soon. He said this on Hannity. We're quite confident about it now. We might put out some teasers as early as the next week or so. Remember, WikiLeaks is the one that released thousands of emails this summer. He said that Russian hackers are believed to have stolen the Democratic National Committee emails. He also said that Clinton was clearly lying about not knowing how to classify documents that are marked with the C at the top for confidential. She said that she thought it was something about, oh, it means that they're alphabetizing the documents. Really? Meanwhile, he's got, I don't remember how many thousands of emails where she actually put the C on the document. She used the confidential marking as the C. But according to the FBI interview, she said, I don't know what that means. I think it means some kind of alphabetizing. It's alphabetizing. That's what she said. Well, let me tell you what Julian Assange put out. I don't know if it was last night or this morning. He pulled an email from these tens of thousands that he's going to do the slow drip drip. This one is from Jake Sullivan, who was an employee of State Department. She worked for Hillary. He worked for Hillary, back in 2011. She emailed him and wanted him to research a drug used to help some of the symptoms of Parkinson's disease. He researched it. Basically, he said it helps with sleepiness, blah, 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 blah. Of course, she didn't say, I have Parkinson's, so would you figure out what drugs are going to help me look normal? But why would she direct a staffer in an email? He answered it. He did his job to find out where the FDA was on it. What did the FDA say about it? Blah, blah, blah. And it happens to be a drug for the Parkinson's disease. And I know by now all the listeners have seen Hillary Clinton get sick, lightheaded, having an episode, they're calling, in New York during the 911 ceremony yesterday. It was in the mid-70s, I was told, kind of breezy, very nice out. But so Donald Trump, I think, is going to use a little bit of this in a classy way. I believe in a classy way. He said this morning that he hopes that Hillary Clinton gets well soon. He commented that he had a physical this week, and he's going to release it on Thursday on the Dr. Oz show. And I think he taped it today. Let me just say this about Dr. Oz. Pretty well respected in the medical community. Not an ambulance chaser. You know how sometimes these lawyers that end up running their own ads or having their own TV show, they become sort of a laughing stock of the industry. Ambulance chaser is what I'm thinking of. Dr. Oz is not that. He's still very, very well respected in the medical community. So it airs on Thursday, and that's when Donald Trump is going to release, in front of a doctor, Dr. Oz, his medical records. Let me say this about Dr. Oz. A lot of women watch him. A lot of women like him. Not too bad on the eyes, but separate from that. Is he going after the women's vote? I don't know. Not a bad way. But he doesn't have to run Hillary down. He can just say, look how healthy I am. You know, I've been reading several polls this morning at some conference calls. White men are coming over to Donald Trump, to the Trump team, quicker and larger than they were ever even imagined. White men. That's important. That's important. I know we're going to talk more about the polls as it gets closer. Let's go back to Hillary's health for a second. What will happen if the Democrats get too scared about her health? Can they replace her? First of all, take a listen here, this little more than 2 minutes. This is Bernie at the convention as he nominates Hillary. Take a listen here.
I'm Donnie Deans, chair of the Vermont Democratic Party. On behalf of the great state of Vermont, a state that helped fight and win the revolution that gave birth to our United States of America, the state that helped fight and win the political revolution of 2016, thanks to our Senator Bernie Sanders.
Bernie speaks here in a minute, folks, just to be a little patient, sorry. This is the Democratic National Committee. I mean, the National Convention.
Joseph McCarthy, and today, whose leaders like Madeline Cunin, Howard Dean, Peter Welch, and our own Senator Leahy speak out against the modern-day McCarthy, Donald Trump. On behalf of the home state of Senator Bernie Sanders, who has changed the trajectory of this country in a way that will...
Oh, blah, blah, blah. Get to Bernie, please. He's sitting right next to her, by the way, and you can see him in the frame. He's sort of mumbling to himself like he's practicing something. Seems to me he was sort of repeating, mumbling what he was supposed to say when he does eventually talk. There was a point to this, and I wanted you to hear him literally make the nomination.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move that the convention suspend the procedural rules. I move that all votes cast by delegates be reflected in the official record. And I move that Hillary Clinton be selected as the nominee of the Democratic Party for President of the United States.
Okay, you got the gist. I move that the rules be suspended. If they want to replace Hillary, the Democratic National Committee has rules in place. It basically says that they can pick somebody else. It doesn't necessarily have to go to the next person that had the next number of electoral votes. But he suspended the rules. Is that what he was doing? In other words, if the rules were in place, they could make up a rule that would allow Biden to be parachuted in, or Elizabeth Warren, maybe. But did Bernie, by nominating Hillary back in July at their convention, did he suspend the rules? The rules do not require any kind of special consideration to be given to Tim Kaine or Bernie Sanders. But if you don't have the rules, then you have to go through, and what lives on, what survives, are the bylaws of the Democratic Party. And the bylaws deal with filling vacancies for the nomination of the president and the vice president. This is Article 3. It states that a special meeting of the Democratic National Committee can be held to fill the vacancy on the national ticket. this meeting has to be called by the chair in accordance with the procedural blah, blah, blah. And it's a majority of those present and voting by proxy. Did Bernie suspend the rules and therefore the only thing left in their bylaws, the only thing left is the guy in the second place goes ahead and takes it? Remember, the Sanders delegates are now recorded. Those votes are recorded. I forget what he got. 1,800 and something, I thought. They're recorded. So if he suspended the rules and all they have to go by are the bylaws, and the bylaws say that he's the next guy in line would be the one that would just step up. Is that what he was doing? Do you think he had the wherewithal? I don't know. Watch the clip if you get a chance. You can find it on YouTube. It does look like he's sort of practicing. Practicing to make sure he says the exact words. And then he actually reads it when he's saying it. I don't know. I just think it was very interesting the way he said it. And of course, I didn't catch the nuance of it when he said it. Suspending the rules most likely means that the roll call votes that they had would be the record vote. And again, Bernie Sanders' delegates are on record, and he's in the number two spot. So I don't know. Lots could happen. You know, lots is happening. North Korea obviously had a nuclear test again. If that isn't an indication of a failed foreign policy, I just don't know what is. And Hillary Clinton was at the helm almost the whole time. Just at every airing of Congress College, get your paper, get your pencil out. We are going to read the president's daily schedule for today, September 12th. Nothing. Remember that meeting with the leadership at the White House? They're not meeting with the president. They're meeting with congressional relations people. He has nothing on his schedule. Nothing, folks. Nothing. You know, I do the president's daily schedule so you can familiarize yourself with the fact that your president basically barely does anything. Google your favorite past president. Maybe it's Bill Clinton. Maybe it's Ronald Reagan. Maybe it's George W. Bush. And pick September 12th of the last part of their presidency, assuming it's not a Saturday or a Sunday. Look it up. And I say this all the time. I guarantee the schedule is going to start out 7:30 or 8 o'clock breakfast, 8:30 or 9, receiving the presidential daily briefing, 9:30 or 10, meeting with congressional leaders or meeting with cabinet staff, meeting with members of Congress, meeting with top aides, on and on all day long, every 20, 30 minutes at night. This president never has a schedule that looks like that. Most of the time, there's things on his schedule, one of which is the presidential daily briefing and sometimes lunch. Not kidding, folks. Do yourself a favor. Google your favorite past president. Speaking of, have a great week. We're about to end. Gloria Gaynor, I Will Survive. I'm going to play that because you know what? We're going to survive whatever happens. We know that. But anyway, have a great week. Talk to you on Friday. Enjoy. Thanks for tuning in. I'll talk to you on Friday. Without you by my side. But then I spent so many nights thinking how you did me wrong. And I grew strong. And I learned how.